Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Thrive in EDU podcast. I am Rochelle Danae Post, and I am excited because I have a guest today, and I'm really looking forward to this conversation. If you're joining in for the first time, thank you. I hope that you will subscribe and continue to listen and go back to prior episodes. And if you've been with me for the past five seasons, I really thank you because I appreciate the feedback and having listeners and getting some new ideas from you as well. So I would like to introduce first my guest today, and my guest is Andrew Henry, who is the president of Red Cedar Solutions Group and also the creator of Stepwell. So first, welcome to you, Andrew.
Thank you, Rochelle. I'm glad to be here. Glad to be able to talk to your listeners about the interesting things we do. At least I think they're interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, I did some investigating a little bit because I like to learn as much as I can about my guests and of course, what, you know, what it is that you're doing, what your daily work is and everything. But before we dive into talking about Stepwell, I'm curious what got you, and I'm sure my listeners are curious because they always, you know, the power of a story and how did you end up where you are today? So if you could share a little bit about your background, I think that would be awesome.
Oh, you bet. You know, I know a lot of people who have very straightforward paths. You know, they know when they're 4 years old that they're going to become a doctor, and they go to school and they become a doctor and then they're a doctor. That was not my story at all. I had no inkling of where I would end up, let alone in education. If we go way back, I was kind of a science kid, loved computers, loved all those kinds of things. I was at the when I was in high school, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have any of that stuff. I'm sure that at least one or two of your listeners will remember that those days. And kind of got interested in computers, but not really as a career. This is long before there was such things as developers or people really wrote programs or things like that. I went to college. I got a degree in English, of all things, and a second degree in physiology, and then decided that being a teacher would be a pretty cool thing. And that's really where this story starts is through my career and multiple careers, I've been able to really explore lots of different areas in education. I was a teacher for 10 years. I was a technology director for a school district. I worked at a tier one research institute, Michigan State University, which is right by where I live, where I ran an ed tech program for the college. I was a state director of an education agency here in Michigan called the Center for Educational Performance and Information. I ran a regional education lab for the federal government that doesn't exist anymore, but it was called NCREL, North Central Regional Education Lab. So had all of these experiences, all of these kind of things that were shaping how I was thinking. And it occurred to me at a certain point when I was at Learning Point, which was the parent corporation for NCREL, that we had a technology, we had something that could help us do the things that we were doing. We did a lot of research into how educators worked, what they did in their classrooms. We looked at assessment, we looked at kind of the workflows. And in doing that, it was really clear that of all the industries around, education was truly a laggard in terms of using technology in a really meaningful way. There was email, there were attendance systems and grading systems, that kind of thing. But how do you really impact the industry? And that's when I struck out on my own. You know, I started a company, Red Cedar Solutions Group. We have been around since 2006 doing lots of things, but primarily education data. We run for the state of Michigan a thing called My School Data, MI, because we're very clever here in Michigan, where we're abbreviated MI. But the upshot was that, you know, at that point we were starting to develop applications, enterprise applications, big applications, thinking about how people did their work, and we have been doing that ever since. Fast forward a little bit, you know, we've been in 2016, at it for 10 years, and had figured out some of the things that we were really good at. And it really was about data analytics and workflow. How do people do their jobs? I had the opportunity and the invitation to go and work with Michigan's Department of Education, the Office of Special Education, and to work with them around, they were developing a plan. They were required by the federal government to have a plan around state systemic improvement. And one of their areas that they were in need of and wanted to explore was how to use data. What do you know? What does data even mean in special education? How can we use it? What effects can it have, and so on? And you know that of course that is my passion. But you add to that, now I was getting a view into how people were interacting, how local directors of special education and special education teachers were interacting with the state to provide information, to give updates. You know, there's that whole IDEA has that Part B with 18 different components to it that every district in the country can have to report on, right? So things like timely IEPs, are you doing your IEPs on time? Do you have transition plans in place? Do you have secondary transition plans for kids that are leaving the system? What does your special education population look like compared to your general education population? And the more I was sort of mixed up in that and talking with people around the state, what I figured out was that it was very hard, that it was hard for these folks at the local level who are really focused on students and focused on outcomes to have to switch gears and do something really different and move into doing data analytics or figuring out, for instance, how to improve. If they're identified by the state as being non-compliant in some way, it's incumbent on them to say, here's our plan, and this is how we're going to become compliant, and in fact, this is how we're going to improve. So, you know, that's kind of the quick story. Got lots of stories, lots of, like we all do as teachers, lots of funny stories, lots of good stories, but that's how we kind of get to Stepwell.
Yeah, and, you know, like, what I love, I'm a huge fan of stories and, you know, always interested. I mean, whoever in education, even just today in my classroom, I had a conversation with a student that came in to make up a test and we just started talking and it was making me think back to like my educational experience and something, you know, like you said, you know, like I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grow up. And I mean, certainly an educator. And I wrote that in one of the books that I had written. I was like, I really didn't know, even though I enjoyed helping people and I enjoyed learning and, you know, being a teacher, playing school and all of these things. So it's interesting how like you may not necessarily see yourself in a certain role in life or how many times you might change the role that you have, but you're still kind of in the same space. And so you have really kind of like traveled around in a lot of different areas. And it seems to me, and I haven't known you all that long, but it seems to me like you really have been able to connect with a lot of different people to get a lot of different information, you know, types of information from them, especially when it comes to data, you know. And I, as a Spanish teacher, I know that a couple of years ago, and I've been really trying to be more intentional about learning about things related to special education, because a couple of years ago, I went to an ed camp and somebody had done a, you know, pop-up session about like what general educators need to know. And it was all of this information about special education. And I was, you know, I didn't know a lot of it. And then when I had gotten my master's, since my bachelor's degree had been we'll not talk about how long ago that was, but the requirements had changed. And in Pennsylvania, you needed to have so many credits that were at a master's, like a graduate course level in special education. And I had a whole new outlook on the work that is done by people who work in special education and writing an IEP and that investment. But besides that, all that information that they have to process and the data, I mean, there's just so much to it. So that's another reason why I was like really interested to talk to you too, just to see like what is available, because we know the needs are changing, the technology is changing. You know, you mentioned some things too, like we're not learning the way that we used to. Teachers aren't, you know, interacting with students and providing opportunities for them and being able to understand what their needs are the way they did years ago. They could still do it. It's just, it took longer, or, you know, right, you didn't have that access to that information as much. And so You've done a lot in your career. And so specifically speaking about Stepwell, yeah, you know, what is it that you do there? Like, what is a typical day or what is your role involved?
So my role here at Stepwell, lots of email. I think that's probably a bottom line. But, you know, what we're really doing on a pretty consistent basis is looking at how people operate and then designing software that helps them achieve their goals more quickly, optimizing processes and so on. And it sounds pretty dry, but you know, when we develop out a new feature set for Stepwell, when we say, you know, we're gonna have a button that does something, or we're gonna have a new workflow is what we call it. We actually go out and you know, I have teams going out, and sometimes I get the opportunity to go with them, that we go and talk to teachers, or we go and talk to someone who's gonna use the software and say, you know, number one, tell me what you do, but number two, show me what you do. And it's a very, you know, that sort of anthropology kind of bent on, like, you know, not just hearing how someone describes what they're up to, but or maybe it's ethnography, right? That we're going to describe what we actually see them doing. So we'll hear folks say, you know, this is what we do with an IEP. This is how we come up with an IEP. But then when we watch them, we'll see all of the workarounds, all the things that they have to do to interact with a system, or all of the work that happens kind of out of view, talking to parents, communicating and working with their students, working with curriculum, all of those things that go into it. And we're really, we have a pretty dedicated bunch of folks who will go out and talk with people who are eventually going to hopefully use the software, say, how does this work? What does it really look like? Other parts of our day, you know, would be about data analytics. We're in an area, you know, we all know that we're awash with data, but a lot of times we're information poor. And that's really the a place where we see a focus of our work, is to be able to take that raw information. So if you think of an IEP, for instance, we are officially partners with PowerSchool. I think probably a lot of people know PowerSchool as a student information system, or for who we work with, we work with their special programs. Those IEPs generate incredible amounts of data. And that data is what we look at and say, okay, how do we get someone information here? So, you know, something we're that I'm super excited about right now is something called an educational benefit review. And if it, you know, if you think about it, in the day-to-day, it's very hard I mean, we're both teachers, right? I mean, it's hard to sort of assess, you got 30 kids sitting in front of you, and I used to teach high school, which means 50 minutes later, or 55 minutes later, I'll have another 30 kids sitting in front of me. And trying to understand that, and to you know, not only know that, you know, that student's got a B plus and that one's got an A minus, oh, there's my star student with an A. That's a real surface level of understanding. And what we're looking for is, how do we provide feedback, for instance, to a special education teacher, that what they have in place, that IEP, is something that's effective, and it's something that's really helping a student move forward. So what we're developing out, we'll be releasing it in the next couple of months, it's called an educational benefit review. And basically what it does is look at 3 years of IEP information, look at goals, you know, and does an evaluation on the backside that says, you know, are the goals progressive? Are they proximal? Are the interventions having an effect? What does the student look like on the assessments that they're receiving? So a big part of what we do is try to figure out, how do we take all of those data points, all that stuff that sometimes feels like noise in the background, and make it something that's really important to a teacher, help them understand, am I being effective? Is the program helping the student, for instance, or do we need to do something different?
Yeah, and whenever I hear data, I just think, like, oh, there is so much, right? And we have so many students coming into our classrooms, and, you know, I have some class sizes that I would say that are larger, but as a language educator, you know, you want to have like smaller class size, especially in the lower levels. But there are teachers who are dealing with, you know, hundreds of students a day, potentially, depending on what they teach, and being able to access that information, understand what each student needs, and seeing all of that data and process it all, like, it is super time consuming. Yeah. And it's important to be able to do that and to access it. And I think that a big problem in education, and I mean, I don't know how that we'd ever solve this, is just there's just never enough time, because
right, there's never enough time.
We're pulled in so many directions. Yeah. And, you know, you sit down to do one thing, next thing you know, it's like, oh, I have to check this out, or, oh, this email, because you say emails. I'm like, I totally get you right now, because yeah, writing one and like 50 more come in. And then also understanding the students. And so when, you know, I think about, you know, there's a lot of great resources on the StepWell site that, that anybody who's listening, and I will be sure to share them in the notes too, can look at. But, you know, the things that you've been talking about, how do you, like, what does it look like when you and your team work with school districts? Like, what, if somebody's thinking, you know what, this sounds really good, what does that look like? How do we get started? Could you share some of that?
Yeah, you bet. So a couple of things that we do right up front when we're working with a district is, number one, you won't be surprised, we have to figure out where they get their data from. I mentioned our partnership with PowerSchool. That has been terrific. You know, we can scoop data out of a PowerSchool system. We already have that down pat. But even if you don't have PowerSchool, there are some common formats that we would look at and ask for data to come to us. Student files, I'll mention up front, we are extremely concerned and very careful with personally identifiable information. You know, all of our applications are hardened in terms of security, making sure that they are as secure as we can make. And we use a system that is basically the same system that banks use to protect private information. But be that as it may, number one, we're looking for the data. Number two, we have one of the parts of StepWell that I think is really important as well is that this is about improving this system. So even though we can have information on an individual student and we can provide that back, we're also supporting or primarily supporting the system improving. So when you think about those school improvement efforts, you know, some of what I'm going to say is not rocket science, right? We know about the response, RTSS, and all these other methodologies that people use to improve schools. And we've embedded that in StepWell. And what it really is supporting the adults that have to deliver to the students, right? So the question is, how do you improve the system and what kind of things need to be in place to support that system? You're talking about never enough time. I mean, think about, I'll give myself as an example, but when I was a teacher, we did school improvement, continuous improvement, continuously. We did it all the time. We were asked to go to meetings. There were, you know, goals were written, plans were put in place. People were given assignments, and it was very clunky. It was very hard to share information. It really did. It involved many people through the school. I was in a high school, and the movement of information, the compilation of data, the coordination of different people doing different things in the school. And then once you had the plan, that implementation of the plan. How do you figure out whether you're implementing with fidelity, that what you said you were going to do is what you are doing, and that you're monitoring and measuring that on as you progress? That's something that StepWell is actually very, very good at. I mean, that's what we focus on, is making sure that the teams that have to do that work, that are there to improve the system, are getting the right information in, and we understand. You know, at a student level, for instance, we do a sampling and we maybe look at 50 students and their files, and we make an evaluation of that, or the school team does. They do a student record review is what we call it. And from that student record review, you know, they pull data. They have data then that says maybe this is a common issue that we're finding throughout these IEPs that I'm going to keep picking on timely IEP, right? In Michigan, you have 60 days to have an IEP once a student's been identified as in need of an IEP, of a plan. And, you know, those things get lost, or I mean, sometimes physically lost, but sometimes just lost in the shuffle. And it may be that somebody needs to pay attention to those differently. So that's what StepWell does. It helps you pay attention to those big movements in the system, support the people who are actually doing the work. And like we all know from our school improvement, it takes 3 years. You figure out your goal, you make your plan, and you can't just do it once. You know, you have to sustain that. So being able to also look longitudinally across the work that you're doing, the data that you're collecting, revisiting to say, is this plan actually working, or do we need to maybe do a course correction? StepWell does that really well. That's what we're about.
Yeah, and I know, like, especially when it comes to technology too, the, you know, it's hard to think like, oh my gosh, this might take, you know, X amount of years, like, but you need that time to see, because I mean, even just in teaching in general, anything that you do, you know, you're not, it's not perfect the first time, like learning, you're always learning and reevaluating the system and then trying to improve. And I'm sure that, and I know, I mean, I've only been speaking with you for a short period of time, but I'm sure, you know, having experience in education, like, you know, how important it is to hear like the voice of educators and to get the feedback from them, you know, like, what do you like about this? What is something else that you think that we need? You know, what are we missing? All of those things. And, you know, hopefully schools are open and educators are open about, you know, the challenges, because you don't want, I always tell my students, I'm like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Like, I'm going to tell you like it is, because yeah. Like, that's how we improve. I said, you know, if I say that everything's great all the time, then you're not like, where do you go from here? And so, you know, for a school thinking about the same thing, like, I know that because there is so much data that has to be processed and, you know, you got to look at, you got to analyze, you collect it and then decide what to do. There's all these different steps in it. So yeah. In your experience with some of the school districts and, you know, the people that you've spoken with, you know, what are some of the challenges that they have maybe expressed to you where they say, like, you know, we have the collecting, we're acting on the analyzing, all of these things, you know, what are the challenges that they find to be like the biggest challenges in all of that?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the biggest challenges is, it's simply just getting the data. You know, the data resides maybe in multiple systems. You can have just something as simple as a student information system plus a special education IEP system, 504 planning system. I mean, you've got all these little pieces, and you know, we like to talk about human integrators, right? The people who have to bring all those systems together. That's difficult. I mean, just, you know, having to go one place for one bit of information, have a login or password, or maybe some data analyst that you have to ask them to pull data for you, and then you have to gather it with other data and put that all together. So, you know, some of the best practices around that, of course, are having very transparent systems for acquiring data, but also having a pretty rigorous way of looking at data once you have it. We see all the time where there'll be a data pull and, you know, it'll be something weird like, hey, we're trying to plan for 2023, but you've given us 2018 data. That's not really going to help. So knowing the system, knowing how those things are pulled, having the quality assurance pieces in place so that you really can do the data and do it well. I think the other thing that I would suggest to schools and districts as they're looking at their data is that they need to be pretty cognizant of external audiences, right? So there's one thing that when you get to look at your internal data and think about that, but I can tell you that, you know, in my time when I was at the state of Michigan, for instance, the number of submissions that would come from districts all over the state, and then 2 minutes after they push the button, we've got people saying, oh, we sent you the wrong data. We didn't mean that, or we pulled it from a wrong time or something like that. So having also in place those filters and the look outside of your organization to know who's going to consume that data. Are you doing it for yourselves? You know, that's kind of one thing. You can have a certain level it doesn't have to be maybe perfect internally if you're using it to help inform your monitoring, for instance. But if it's going to the state and you're doing your work, you really want it to be perfect. You want it to be on the day that you said it was going to be, because noncompliance around IDEA, around Part B, is a real deal. And we all know that district, you know, what are the things you don't want your school board to be hearing about? You don't want to be in a place where you're noncompliant, and especially you don't want to be noncompliant just because your data isn't right. If it's right, you really want to convey that.
Yeah. And I just, even, you know, I smile and nobody can see me smiling, but I just think about like all of the data. There's just so much. And even, I mean, simple things like even in Pennsylvania, you know, we do like we said our goal was for the year, and we track, you know, whatever it is that we want to focus on in our practice to, I mean, one, to help ourselves improve, but more importantly, to work with our students to help to improve them. And all of that is tied back into the data. And then, you know, we have meetings, we're talking about all this data that we're processing, and there's all these different places to look and everything. And it's just like, there's so much, but fortunately, technology has really stepped in to, you know, help and facilitate that. But it can be challenging too, you know, as an educator who, you know, especially, I mean, special educators, people in special education, it's tough. And again, like after going through those courses, and I had to write an IEP, and I just thought, oh my goodness, like all of the things that they're responsible for and all the places they have to look for data. And I didn't realize this because that was not something that, you know, I have been trained on, and we're not going to talk about when I had my undergraduate professional development and teacher preparation, but things have changed, obviously. And so, you know, it is important, and to have access to that data is important because we want to make sure that we're meeting the needs of our students. But more specifically, you know, whenever, you know, having that data, how can it help educators better support what those individualized learning needs are for special education students? I mean, what, you know, what would you say to somebody?
How, say that one more time, Rochelle.
Okay, yeah, how, I know. I get all excited like, talking about all these things. So, you know, when, you know, data for me, for, you know, for a long time, I'm like, oh, what do I do with this? You know, what does this mean? How do I translate it and, you know, help my students? So how can this data help educators to better support the individual needs of the special education students that they have?
Yeah. So, you know, the I think the number one thing that the data does is give us insight. Right, where whether that insight is at a student level or like so often we're talking about in Stepwell, at a system level, and the system being a school or being a district or maybe a subset of a district, across grade schools or something like that, the thing that that it really does is give visibility into things that are sometimes invisible to us as individuals. And what I mean by that is, you know, as a teacher sitting in a classroom or maybe interacting one-on-one with a student, we see and have access to certain things. The number of times when I was teaching and I would look out at some student and think, man, what is that guy thinking? It's almost completely invisible to us. And so the data gives us the ability to look in some ways inside of another person and to understand what are their challenges? What are the things that I need to be aware of as a teacher that will help me better serve that student? And then again, thinking about it at the system level, at the level of a district, you know, how does it move from an individual student and a teacher thinking about that kid to all the way up at the system, like, how do we improve? What do we do with this information? And really, it's really data. Data is the only, otherwise we're shooting from the hip, we're listening to our gut. Those are all things that sometimes work, but we want to be systemic about that. We want to be conscious of the fact that in the aggregate, we can see some things and we can make some movements and make improvements. And that kind of movement from the system is better, the system operates differently, and now we're going to affect students and their learning differently. That's really what it's about.
Yeah. And I heard everything that you said. Yeah. And the one word that is just like, as soon as you said it, just was resonating throughout is like the insight that it gives. And you know, you can look at a student and you don't necessarily know everything about them. You know, you building relationships and all that, we know we can understand them, but we don't know all of that other information that they have about them. And so being able to access that is really important because it does give you insight. And it helps us to, you know, provide more targeted instruction for students. And so, you know, so let's say, you know, we have lit people listening and maybe it's, you know, classroom educators. There's so many different roles in education that anytime I even do a survey just for my own learning to figure out what people are thinking or what they need, I always miss somebody's role. So I've decided just educators. So whatever your role is, but, you know, specifically, you know, you want to work with school districts. And so let's say whoever's listening is thinking, you know, this sounds like a really good idea. you know, can you tell me more? Those kind of things. But like, if you had to give advice to a school district who's really just starting to look at having an approach to special education that is more data informed, you know, what tips could you offer to them, or what advice could you give to them?
So number one, I think you would want to be looking at systems that provide visibility. I mean, that you, I know I'm kind of repeating what you're saying, but it's not the case that a system does give you visibility into your students, into your classrooms, into your schools. And you know, that's a real thing. I think number two, you want to have a system that is meeting your needs where you're at. And here's kind of what I'm thinking. I'm lucky enough to be sitting in a district that is, does very well in special education and general education. You know, they are top in the state in a lot of things. I mean, they're really good. They're gonna come at a system like STEPL or other systems from a position and from thinking, what do I need here? I probably need to improve because I'm committed to continuous improvement. I probably need to be thinking about how this will allow us to roll out more programs and be more efficient, which is a very different place from, let's just say, a district that's been identified as non-compliant. You know, we know in the country that only 22 of the 50 states and additional territories were actually said to be compliant with IDEA this year, that there are, you know, there are the rest of the states, the other, what does that make, 28 states that have some issue of non-compliance with federal regulation around Part B. That's a really different place to start, right? I mean, that's a place where you're thinking about, okay, how do I get out of the newspaper? How do I make sure these kids are getting taken care of? How do I make sure that whatever we need to fix with our system is something that's on our plates? And so, you know, thinking about that need, thinking about what it is you're really, really trying to achieve is super important. So I would say, you know, those two things: make sure it fits with where you're at, make sure it's going to give you the insight that you need.
Yeah. And there's the word insight.
Oh, there we go. Sorry. Yeah.
But it's good, because that is, it's a, you know, if people just walk away with one key word they take from it, it's like, what is this going to provide? It's going to provide insight. Like, that's, yeah, pulls it all together so nicely. And so, you know, you've given such great information, and, you know, for any educators who are looking to learn more, you know, of course, in the show notes, I'm going to drop all of the different links to things. You have videos, there's different blogs, yes, on your site, information, yeah, about, you know, what is offered, the benefits. I'll be sure to add all of that information, as well as information about you. But as we wrap up, is there anything else, you know, that you'd like to share about Stepwell, or about, you know, any takeaways maybe, or, you know, best practices, tips, anything that you would like to share to kind of close out our chat today?
Well, thanks, Rochelle. Number one, thanks for letting me come on your show and talk about this stuff that I think about 24 hours a day. You know, really, it is, I would just encourage people to not be afraid of the complexities of our systems, to make sure that you're out working on making them better for individual kids and making the system better. It is a worthy thing, and don't be afraid of the effort, and don't be afraid of the complexity. In the end, the results and the returns are well worth the effort.
Wow. Well, I should not add anything after that, because that was the perfect ending to a great conversation. Okay. But you're right. Like, you can't kind of like shy away from challenges, basically, because it's, you know, it doesn't get easier. I've said this before, when it comes to education, people think, oh, you've been doing this for years, you know, oh, it's easy. It doesn't get easier. It becomes even more challenging, even with the technology just helps us to facilitate some of the different tasks that we have, which can give us more time with our students and give us better insight into where they are in learning and what we need to do for them. So thank you so much for joining me. I always enjoy having guests and somebody to talk to besides myself, and learning more about Stepwell and your background. And so, like I said, for anybody who's listening, you know, all the links will be dropped in there. So Andrew, thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you again.
Of course. And everybody, be sure, if you haven't subscribed, subscribe to the podcast. Check out my blog. It's www.rdene915.com. I also have a newsletter, and it comes out once or twice a month, depending on what's happening. But would love to have you subscribe, and we will catch you in the next episode. Have a fantastic day, and thanks for listening.